Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air.
And now let's welcome Pastor Rob.
Good morning. I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Make some noise. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. And today is, Christmas Tree Sunday. And like you heard at the end of the service, we have Little Debbie Christmas trees for everyone. And I want you to know, this is not just to like grab and go. At the end of services, people run out of here like the building's on fire. We want to give you a chance to actually hang out. So after the service, there's some Christmas trees up front. If you're in the up front section, you can grab yours up here. There'll be some out back, some in the lobby. If you have kids back in the kids' wing, go grab your kids and then bring them in here. And we want to hang out for not long, just a few minutes. Like, can you just give us like 5 minutes to meet someone, hang out, and enjoy a Little Debbie Christmas tree cake? It is a proven fact that if you eat a Little Debbie Christmas tree cake in church, it not only is calorie-free, but it speeds up your metabolism. It's a proven... That's not true. That's just a joke. But we do want to enjoy that together, and so we'll do that at the end of the service, and please stick around and enjoy one of those on us. Before we get rolling with the sermon, I want to give a handful of shout-outs. First off, every single Sunday is someone's first Sunday at Next Level Church, so would you help me welcome the first-time guests that are here today? I also want to give a special shout out to those who serve in our military. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for being here today. Would you help me welcome them? I want to give a shout out to our online service. Thank you so much for tuning in. We do wish that you were here in person, but we're very thankful that you're a part of our online community. And today, we are continuing our series. We've been in it for the whole month of December, Christmas Spirit Month. And last week, our executive pastor did a phenomenal job looking at a Christmas movie. Would you help me thank our executive pastor, Scott Rudder? And today, we're going to continue in the Christmas Spirit Month. And I want to do something just a little bit different. It's going to fit with the whole theme, and I think it's going to be very Christmassy. But I want to combat something that I have seen said so often. So many people say this, and they say it with confidence. I don't know if you've heard what we're going to talk about today, but I want you to be prepared that if you're here, especially if you're here today, and you would say you're a Christian, you need to know that there is some fake news going on out there. It has been said often. It's been said by lots of various groups of people. I've heard Christians say this. Today, what we're going to look at is a claim that the Christmas celebration comes from a pagan holiday. And it's something that has been said so often. And we're going to look at, is that true or not? And we're going to look at the evidence of that. And there's going to be a lot of evidence, so buckle up and get ready for that. But our text that we're going to look at today, it comes from the New Testament part of the Bible. If you're new to the church scene, you need to know there's two sections of our Bible. It's the Old Testament, the New Testament. They bleed in together. It's one overall story, but there's an older section and a newer section. The new section, the New Testament, it starts off with four what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are four different takes on Jesus' story. Now, if you jump on Reddit or you jump on YouTube or you listen to various things online, you will quickly hear people say that there are contradictions between these four Gospels. There are no contradictions between them. They tell the same story. They just give various details. But you may hear something like, for example, in Mark's account of the, gospel story, they talk about Jesus, and they say that when Mark writes about Jesus' resurrection, when he rises from the grave on that very first Easter morning, he says that when the women came to prepare for Jesus' body, when they came to see him in the tomb, there was a man in the tomb. Luke comes around, and when he writes about the exact same thing, he says there's two people and that they're angels. That's a contradiction. Oh my gosh. Oh, contraire, mon frère. That's not a contradiction. If you have two people, you do have one person. Mark does not say there wasn't two. Mark just focuses on the one. It's one that spoke to the women. There were two people. Luke is more he cares more about the extra details. So they don't contradict each other. A contradiction would be if Mark said that there was one man and he wore white, and Luke comes around and says, no, there was a man and he wore pink purple polka dots. That's a contradiction. That's a difference. But these things actually go together. And we're going to look at Luke's take on the Christmas story. And the reason we're going to do that is because Luke gives more information than anyone else in the Bible about Jesus' birth. Luke was really focused on the details of the story. Luke was a physician, he was a doctor, and he was a researcher, and he writes this letter to prove to his audience, it's specifically one guy, but ultimately written to all people, to prove that Jesus was real, and he really did come, and these are the facts around it. So Luke does a ton of research, and he interviews people, and he interviews the people that were there, and he gives us more information than anyone else about the Christmas story. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but only two out of the four Gospels even mention Jesus' birth. Matthew mentions it, but Matthew's take was more of a Jewish take. He wanted to prove to Jewish people that Jesus was the Messiah. So Matthew focuses on Jesus' dad. He focuses on Joseph, because that would have been really important for the Jewish people. Luke comes around and he fills in. He gives all these little details that you don't get anywhere else. And he gives us these little specifics. And so the details that we get about the Christmas story, they primarily come from Luke. So with that being said, I want us to read our text for today. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me, nice and loud, our theme verse for today. It's going to come from Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. And at Next Level, we do something a little bit weird. When we get to that reference part, we do something when we say Luke 2. There's two dots between the 2 and the 6. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. It's a fun little thing that we do. And so I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Luke 2, dot, dot, 6 and 7. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want to invite you to spend just a moment quieting your heart and talking to God. A prayer that I pray often is, God, would you speak to my heart, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to God in your heart? God, this whole season is about you, and we are thankful for that. We thank you for the gift of your son, and we ask right now, in this moment, in these few moments that we have together, that you would help us to be disciplined and focus in, that we'd pay attention, that we'd listen carefully, because when you speak, it is a still, small voice. So help us not to miss it. But God, when you speak, we often become afraid, so give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So if you say something enough times, and you say it with confidence, people will just believe it. It doesn't have to be true or not, you just say it. And if you keep saying it over and over again, eventually people will just say, oh, that must be true. Now, whether or not you agree with that, there's a part of you that knows this is true because our media knows that this is true. Our media knows that if you just say something, if you just make a statement over and over again, then massive amounts of people will agree to this. This is why the vast majority of the news articles that you read online have a title to grab your attention. And oftentimes the title is, it lies. They know no one's going to read the article, so they communicate to you in a title. Like this week, literally this week, I read how the internet was outraged because Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, the way that he puts up his star on his Christmas tree. And I was like, well, I want to know why everyone's mad at Thor, like the god of thunder. I want to understand this. So I read the article. The article, there is no one that was mad at him. He has a tradition where he puts a family member on his shoulders and they then place the star on top of the tree. And some people said in the comments, they said, you know what, next year for Christmas, we're going to get you a ladder. That's the extent of the outrage. That's it. And yet the article was titled that the internet is upset. So often the articles that we read, they're communicating something, they're saying something because they know no one's going to actually read it. And so if you just say something over and over again, people will believe it. So I want to have a little bit of fun with this. I want to give you 8 false facts that you thought were true. 8 false facts that you thought were true. And if you've heard one of these false facts before, I want you just to raise your hand. It's not if you believe them. If you've just ever heard, if you've heard someone say one of these 8 false facts. Number 1, bats are blind. Have you ever heard that? Did you know bats are not blind? They're not. Bats are not blind. In fact, some people believe that bats actually have better eyesight than humans. This myth came to be because bats have amazing hearing and they rely more on their hearing than they do their sight, but bats have great eyesight. So if you've taught your kids this, you've lied and you need to apologize to them. Just kidding. Number 2, shaved hair grows back thicker. You ever heard that one? Did you know based off science that's false? It's a lie. It's not true. Here's number 3. You can see the Great Wall of China from space. Anyone ever heard that one? Okay, this one is still in some textbooks in schools today. It was believed so much that literally people have written it in textbooks and they haven't updated it. But they actually have gone up to space and looked down and you cannot see the Great Wall of China from space. You cannot. It's fake news. Here's another one. Number 4, cracking your knuckles will give you arthritis. Anyone ever heard that? It's false. It's fake news. It won't happen. According to doctors, when you crack your knuckles, it's actually nitrogen bubbles bursting out. And so it doesn't do you any harm, and it doesn't cause arthritis at all. So crack your knuckles all you want, just not in church, not right now. Other times, crack your knuckles. Here's one. It takes 7 years for your body to digest a piece of gum. Anyone ever hear that? Fake news. It's not true. Your body cannot digest gum ever, ever. But it passes through your body the same time as it does any other food. So if you eat it, it doesn't stay in your body. It just comes right out. So swallow all the gum you want. Number 6, on average, you swallow 8 spiders a year in your sleep. Everyone ever hear that? Fake news. It's fake because spiders are actually scared of humans. They want nothing to do with a human. They don't want to bite you. They don't want to be around you. And if they were crawling around your face, you're making noise. If your mouth is open, it probably means you're snoring. And they're going to be scared to death of that noise. So they're going to run away from you. They are not going to crawl into the cave of your pie hole and go down your throat. It's just not going to happen. Number 7, hair and fingernails continue to grow after death. You ever hear that one? Fake news. It's not true. What does happen is that your skin starts to retract some. So it makes your nails look like they're growing, but they don't grow. As soon as you die, everything stops growing, based off morticians. All right, here's the last one. Number 8, carrots improve your vision. Anyone ever hear that? If you're here today and you're a kid and your parents tell you to eat your carrots because it'll improve your vision, you can say, yes, ma'am, I will eat those carrots, but it does not improve my vision. Give me facts, not this mess. It's true. Carrots do not. In fact, if you have bad vision, there is no food that's going to improve it. There's no food that's going to reverse the effects of bad vision. So carrots are good for vision, but they don't improve it. There's nothing that can fix it. So if you've heard some of those, then you know the power of just saying something over and over again. You were taught it by your parents, or you heard it online, and so you repeat it. No one fact checks anything, and so we just say these things over and over again, and we just all believe them. So here's a bonus false fact that you may or may not have thought was true. Christmas is a pagan holiday. Anyone ever hear that one? Just want to know. There's 7 of you. Okay, cool. Cool. Well, if you have not heard this one, if you go online, this is predominantly thought. In fact, right now, if you go to history.com, based off the History Channel, which is supposed to be based off history, they have whole articles dedicated to the fact that Christmas is based off a pagan holiday. If you get on any social media, including TikTok, this has become so prevalent, I've seen Christians even say that they're no longer going to celebrate Christmas because it has its roots in a pagan holiday. I've seen Christians on TikTok say that they don't do presents anymore, they don't do a tree, they don't celebrate anything because it all comes from a pagan celebration. In fact, I've seen other religions use this as ammunition against Christians. There's a Muslim leader who went viral on YouTube because his accusation was that Christians aren't serious about their faith. And the thing that he threw at Christians is like, did you know that Christmas is not even mentioned in the Bible? And the celebrations that you celebrate around Christmas, they're not in the Bible. And he used this as like a smoking gun. He used this as a way to say, you Christians don't even know what you believe. And he says in the video that Christmas is based out of a pagan holiday. If you're here today, whether you've heard this or not, if you are a Christian, you need to know the facts. And you need to be able to defend your faith and defend what you believe and why you believe it. I recently heard this quote, in the day of information, a little knowledge can do a lot of damage. The lie goes around many times before it puts its shoes on. In the day and age of information, literally, it is being spread so quickly to us through news and through television and articles, and we are believing stuff left and right. We need to do some digging and some research. So I want to dig in and show why this is a claim against Christianity. And it actually has something to do with the text. So let's look at our text. Once again, we're going to go to Luke. He gives us more of the Christmas story than anyone else. Luke 2, verses 4 through 7. Luke writes, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available for them." So that is the Christmas text. That's what we know about that very first Christmas morning. And did you notice in the text, it said nothing about December 25th. It said nothing about Christmas trees. It definitely said nothing about a white Christmas or snow. There was no mention of stockings. There's no mention of presents. And there's no mention of the little drummer boy, which, by the way, this is just a side note. I am very thankful for the little drummer boy. It is a very catchy song, and I personally prefer Justin Bieber's version. It is one of the few Christmas songs that actually rocks and has a beat to it. But the whole idea of the little drummer boy is problematic. I don't know who came up with this idea. The last thing that a mom wants after birthing a son is for a drummer boy to come in. I don't know if you've seen this online, but it makes me laugh every Christmas when I see it. This is a meme online. It says, "Mary, exhausted, having just gotten Jesus to sleep, is approached by a young man who thinks to himself, what this girl needs is a drum solo." Pa-rum-pum-pum. That's a horrible gift to bring to a newborn baby. So the text doesn't say anything about all these celebrations that we have. All the text does is give us the facts that at some point in history, God's son was born to us. But all these other details that have such a big deal with our Christmas celebration, they are void in the Christmas story. So it's led people to come to their own conclusions. So people then have said that Christmas, look, there's nothing in the text that says to celebrate on the 25th. Nothing in the text says anything about Christmas trees. So people then have come to their own conclusions. And here is the claim. The claim is that Christmas has its roots in the pagan holiday Saturnalia. That's the claim specifically. And if you go to history.com or you watch YouTube videos or do any type of research, people will throw this out there like it's a fact. Well, what is Saturnalia? Well, Saturnalia was a Roman pagan holiday to celebrate the god of Saturn. And it was specifically a celebration of light. Because it gets darker in the wintertime, they were celebrating and praying to the god of Saturn to bring good crops and to bring light to them in the new year. It was celebrated on December 17th. When do we celebrate Christmas? Three of you kind of know that. And I think someone said 27th. I did not see that going that way. I thought this would be a gimme. When do we celebrate Christmas? December 25th. Yes, okay. So their holiday was on December 17th. Our holiday is on December 25th. Their holiday lasted for an entire week. So it started on the 17th and it would go for an entire week. And what would they do on this celebration? Well, there are some similarities between Christmas. People would take off of work. There was no school, like courthouses would close. And they would have basically a huge party for an entire week. They would play music, they would get drunk, they would gamble. Gambling was a big part of that. I don't know how many of you have gambling a part of your Christmas tradition, but it was a big part of of Saturnalia. It was a very festive time. In fact, there is historical documents to talk about. It is the best time of the year. There are some similarities between Saturnalia and Christmas, but there's also a lot of differences. Number one, Saturnalia was celebrated on the 17th, and as some of you just learned, Christmas is celebrated on the 25th. There's a difference there. The thought, though, and what is taught so often is that Christians just took this pagan holiday that was celebrated in December, and we made it our own. We just adapted their traditions, and we just started calling it Christmas, and we started saying that it was Christianity. But that's incredibly inaccurate. In fact, if you dig in and look at historical documents, they will absolutely link that there is no connection between Saturnalia and the Christmas tradition. But that leads to another claim. And the other claim is Jesus wasn't born in December. So the claim stems that because Christianity was taken from Saturnalia, which it wasn't, but they claim that the reason they did that is because people were already celebrating in December. They were already celebrating to a god. So we have the Christian god. Let's just put that in December. And we don't know when Jesus was born, so let's just claim that. And then Christians adopted it. So when someone then says Christmas is a pagan holiday, and they look at this and they say, of course it's a pagan holiday. But that couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is that the earliest Christians actually had a reason why they picked December 25th, and it has nothing to do with Saturnalia. The earliest Christians, the early Christian forefathers, the ones that were developing our faith, I want to read to you something from a scholar, and it's a little bit wordy, but I'll explain it, but just stick with me, because this is incredibly important to our conversation today. One scholar says, all Christian antiquity held 25th of March as the actual day of Jesus' death. So, all Christian history, if you go back and you look before the internet was invented, if you look back in the old ancient days, all of them agreed that Jesus died on March 25th. The opinion that the incarnation also took place on that day is found in the pseudo-Cyprianic work De Pace Computos. Okay, I don't know if I said their names right. They've been dead for thousands of years. But what this is saying is there are ancient documents who are attributed to a certain guy. We don't know for sure if he wrote all these documents because in the ancient world, if you didn't have a name, if you weren't popular, if no one knew who you were, you would write under a pseudonym and it would attribute your letter to someone else. So we have historical documents that we know are from that time period, but we can't prove if it's from this actual guy. But in one of those, it says that the coming of Jesus and his death must have coincided with the creation and fall of Adam. And since the world was created in the spring, Christ was also conceived and died shortly after the equinox of spring. So what does all that mean? Well, in order to understand this, you need to know that the earliest Christians and our church fathers and church mothers, what they did is they had a lot of emphasis and attention on Adam and Eve. And you're like, what does Adam and Eve have to do with the Christmas story? They actually have a lot to do with the Christmas story. That the Old Testament tells us that the first man and the first woman, they were Adam and Eve. And the earliest people in Christianity believed that Adam and Eve first appeared on the earth in springtime. It makes sense. That's when things grow. So they believe that God created the earth in springtime. Well, if you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, they made a decision to disobey God. And when they disobeyed God, sin entered the world. So that at this point, every human being who was born after Adam and Eve has a sinful nature. We are fallen short of God's standards. All of us have sinned and fallen. And so in the spring, Adam and Eve were created. And in the spring was the fall of man. Well, then the early church fathers said, okay, we believe that Jesus died in the spring. And they picked the date March 25th. And March 25th is a reversal of what Adam and Eve did. It's a man fell, but Jesus came and he fixed the curse. He fixed what was broken. And the early church fathers then connected it. And they said, okay, if he died in the spring, he may have also been conceived in the spring. And there's a Jewish tradition that teaches that if you die in the same month that you were conceived, it means that you have an extra blessing. Now, is this true? No one knows for a fact. But people started to say that because Jesus was of God, he must have been conceived at the same month when he died. So if he died, they believed, on March 25th, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December is 9 months later. Why did they pick December 25th? Because it's 9 months from when they believed he was conceived. And they believe he was conceived because they think that he died on March 25th. So 9 months later is December 25th. So this idea that we borrowed from any pagan holiday, it's a myth. It's fake news. It's not real at all. There are coincidences between Saturnalia and Christmas, but they're just coincidences. In fact, the earliest Christians would have been offended if someone said, you are celebrating your Christmas traditions from a pagan holiday. They wanted nothing to do with pagan traditions or pagan holidays. But that's led then some to have another claim. Here's another claim. The Christmas tree is a pagan celebration. So not only is the holiday, they claim, but also the things that we do to celebrate them. And I've heard this claim so often. This comes from something that happened at Saturnalia. At Saturnalia, they often would put up some greenery, similar to what we do with wreaths, or you might put greenery around a doorway. They did put some greenery around to celebrate. And so some people have wrongly concluded, because they had greenery, that's where our Christmas trees come. But did you know that our Christmas trees have nothing to do with Rome or with pagans? Our Christmas tree celebration actually comes from Germany. You ever heard the song, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree? You know it's a German song? Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum. I know that because I was forced to learn it when I lived in Germany. Christmas trees are a really big deal to Germans. Germans are the ones that invented the Christmas tree tradition. And the early Americans had so many Germans that immigrated, they brought the tradition with them. The actual Christmas tree tradition, it actually points us back to Jesus and his birth. The Christmas tree tradition comes from something that's called the Paradise Play. And in Germany, for years, they celebrated a paradise play. The paradise play depicted the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, their sin, and their banishment from paradise. The play ended with the promise of the coming Savior and his incarnation. So remember how I said Adam and Eve were a big deal to the early church fathers? This carried over to Germany. And a part of the Christmas Eve tradition for Germans was to do a paradise play where they would have Adam and Eve, and they would come and they would eat the fruit off of a tree. Well, what type of trees were common in Germany? They were what are Christmas trees. They didn't have palm trees in Germany. So they picked Christmas trees as the tree, and they would put red apples on the tree to represent the fruit that Adam and Eve would have eaten. And that red fruit ended up becoming a celebration on Christmas trees all around the world. That people then would put trees in their house, and they would put, you know, the little red bulbs that you put on your trees? That's supposed to represent the fruit. Someone eventually said, you know what, all this fruit in our houses, it's rotting, and they invented a way to create a glass bulb, and they colored it red, and they did that to represent the fruit on the tree. So literally the tree in your house, even if you don't believe in Jesus, it's pointing to the fact that he died for us and he reversed the curse. Almost all of our Christmas traditions are trying to point us back to what Jesus has done. I don't know if you've ever seen this painting, but it's a pretty famous painting. And the painting is called When Mary Comforts Eve. And this is a big part of the German celebration for their Christmas trees, that they would talk about that when Adam and Eve fell, they entered sin into this world, and sin separates us from God. And so at Christmas Eve, they would talk about how we're all sinful, and we've fallen. We've all taken the fruit off of the Christmas tree. We've all eaten this fruit. But then tomorrow, on Christmas Day, is what they would say, tomorrow we get to celebrate that we're redeemed. We're no longer broken. Jesus' birth, it reverses the curse. In fact, Christmas actually perfectly illustrates the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. The gospel says that we are way more sinful than we care to admit, but way more loved than we could ever imagine. The reason that we have addiction in our world is because of the fall of man. Now listen, I don't know where you're at in your faith. I don't know if you believe in God. I don't know if you're all in. I don't know if you're passionate for God, if you're here and you're really skeptical. But can I just tell you that there is nothing outside of the Bible that points to why we're so broken. There's nothing. There's no other religion. There's no other psychology. Nothing gets to the heart of why as human beings are we so broken? Why are we prone to do things that get us in trouble? Why are we prone to selfishness? Why does every relationship that we have brokenness inside of it? Why? Why does it exist? The scriptures is the only thing that says it exists because the first humans, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. And because they did, all of us are sinful. But Christmas gives us this hope that we don't have to remain in this brokenness. that God, because he loved us so much, he sent his son to redeem the brokenness. And so when you wake up on Christmas morning, it's not just about the gifts and about the tree and about family. It is about reversing the curse of Adam and Eve. It is a celebration of what God has done. And this is why Christmas is a reminder to us that Jesus was born to die. He wasn't just born to be a cute baby. He was born to reverse the curse. He was born to die. So are there some traditions that we celebrate at Christmas that have nothing to do with Jesus? Yes. Is it okay to still celebrate them? I say yes, go for it. What is important for us to know as Christians is that the main traditions come from our faith. And what we need to make sure that we do is that we hold on to the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is not just about gifts or getting things. It's not even just about family. It is ultimately about what God has done for us. So this leads to one final claim. Here's the claim. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. One scholar said on Twitter, the thing is, Die Hard wasn't a Christmas movie originally. The script changed by Constantine in 336 to align with the Sol Invictus Festival. But then it's rightly pointed out by the Messianic Secret that it was declared a Christmas movie at the Council of Nicaea. I can't believe I have to get this angry about it. Okay, this is a complete joke, and I'm just making sure that you're paying attention. As I was writing this, I was like, there's a lot of facts in here, and I don't want people to like get like have their eyes glaze over, and like maybe if I throw in something funny, they'll actually draw back in and pay attention. I hope, though, what you're getting from all of this is that just because someone claims that Christian has pagan roots doesn't make it true. And you may have to do some research. In fact, I would encourage you just to do that in your everyday life. Don't believe something just because you've been told. Don't believe something just because you read an article about it or read a news title. Do a little bit of digging. And sometimes you have to do a lot of digging. Because if you just do a Google search for, does Christmas come from pagan holidays? Almost all the top searches will say, yes, it does, including history.com. But if you do a little bit of digging and actually figure out what does history teach us, it says that Christmas has nothing to do with a pagan celebration. Everything about our Christmas celebration is supposed to point us back to Jesus. Don't just take my word for it, though. If you want some scholarly research that's really based on history, here are three books that I encourage you to check out or to read on your own. The first one is The Origins of the Liturgical Year. The Origins of the Liturgical Year. And I would encourage you to write this down, or you can take a picture of it if you're interested in digging a little bit deeper. And I will just say this. Anytime someone comes out with claims against Christianity, if their only source material is Google, you need to do a lot more digging. Because you have to go back way before Google to find out what does history actually teach us. So here are some historical documents, or scholarly documents. So Origin of the Liturgical Year. The second one is the Encyclopedia of Christmas and New Year's Celebrations. Encyclopedia of Christmas and New Year's Celebrations. And the third one is The Stations of the Sun. You can find all three of these books on Amazon, and you can check them out on your own, but I encourage you to do that. So here's the deal. We don't know to this day the exact date of Jesus' birth. And there are a lot of our Christmas celebrations that we have created. But the vast majority of them that we have created, we've done so to help us remember the real reason for the season. And the real reason for the season is the fact that Jesus reversed the curse. He was born to die. So we may not have all the information about all our celebrations in the scripture, but here's what we do know is true. Once again, Luke 2, 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. What we do know is that Jesus was born. And he wasn't just any baby. He was God's son who was born to die for our sin. The sinful things that we don't talk about, the sinful things that we don't like to admit, the sinful things that no one else knows. He was born to die. And so when we wake up on Christmas, we get to rejoice, not because of presents under a tree, and not because we're with family, not because of the holiday celebration. We get to rejoice because Jesus reversed the curse. He took our brokenness. He took our shame. And he gives us forgiveness. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you, and we just thank you so much that you are an amazing God. And we thank you for the Christmas story. It's not a fable. It's not fake. It is birthed out of reality. It's birthed out of real events. And we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for sending your son to die for us. And we ask right now, in Jesus' name, that as we go through this next week and we celebrate Christmas, that we would make time to remember the real reason why we celebrate. That we would spend time this week celebrating you, remembering that you are the reason for the season. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and our minds. And we thank you for this upcoming Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.